You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You chose, as a response to a letter from the National School Board Association, and as you said earlier today, newspaper accounts, to issue a memorandum to organize task force and investigate and put a chill on parents' participation before school boards. Now, you say, I didn't mean to provide a chill. But that's exactly what any sentient being would have assumed would happen when you asked the federal government to begin looking into this. Of course parents are going to be nervous now. Of course people will step back.
That's a very obvious fact. This is October 22nd, 2021, and those are the words and the question of Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona, in questioning Merrick Garland about this letter, the memo they sent out after a letter came from the National School Board Association urging that the Department of Justice start investigating these parents that keep showing up at these school board meetings and are upset because they don't know what their kids are being taught, or they hear that they're being taught critical race theory, and they want to know what's being taught, what should not be taught. And, of course, then the issue about the mask and the vax mandates. The National School Board Association, representing something like 90,000 school boards across the nation. Powerful force. Powerful voting force. Keep that in mind. And they sent that letter to the White House, which then forwarded on to Merrick Garland. Supposedly that's a chain of command in the way it went. But there are questions now that how much of the White House staff might have been involved in writing the letter to begin with. They wanted to quiet these parents that keep showing up at these school board meetings. Yes, some of them get ruckus. Some of them get loud because they're upset. They're being denied information about what's being taught their kids. And when they try to get some kind of clear answer, they're basically cut off. We're out of time. What would you do? Well, the question raised by the congressman is, this is chilling. And it is certainly frightening, especially when Merrick Garland followed up with a memo suggesting he would set up a direct line of communication between the National School Board and their concerns and the FBI. Where's been the direct line on the FBI and illegals coming into our country? That's just one example of where Garland is failing. And yet inside that is also the other story I brought to you yesterday, and that is Merrick Garland's son-in-law has a business that helps create teaching tools for critical race theory and making something like $27 million a year. And he has asked, Merrick Garland asked repeatedly, what about this conflict? You want to hear the rest of those answers. And then Congressman Jim Jordan denied an opportunity to show just some video of parents at the school board meetings. And his question, I echo, what are you afraid of? We're going to get into all that. We're also going to be joined by Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation, a heritage constitutional law expert. Two new cases the Supreme Court's going to hear regarding abortion. Hans has out a new book talking about how the left affected our last election. We'll get into that for you. And we still have this massive chain blockage of supply and goods. And prices are going to keep going up. And there's one other little thing. I say little because that's kind of the way the White House is trying to treat it. Joe Biden, in one of his town hall meetings with CNN and NNN last night, was asked, will you stand up to Taiwan? Well, yes, we will. And if China tries to invade Taiwan, we will stand with Taiwan. Whoa, Joe. You sent shockwaves through your own White House. They're still scrambling to straighten that out. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
China just tested a hypersonic missile. What will you do to keep up with them militarily, and can you vow to protect Taiwan?
Yes and yes. You know, you hear people saying Biden wants to start a new Cold War with China. I don't want a Cold War with China. I just want to make China understand that we are not going to step back. We are not going to change any of our views.
So are you saying that that the United States would come to Taiwan's defense if China attacked?
Yes, we have a commitment.
We have a commitment. Wow. You know, in this town hall meeting last night, Joe Biden took 9 questions. 7 of them were from Democrats. 2 Republicans. I don't know if the student asking that question was Democrat or Republican. I also don't know if the question had been cleared. Because, see, when they have these town hall meetings, they pretty well control them. It's a CNN event. It's not a presidential event. CNN sets it all up. And it's always done to make Joe Biden look as great as possible. I'm going to give you some samples here shortly where Biden just kept putting his foot in his mouth or getting totally lost. I'm surprised he didn't just wander off the stage and fall into the pit. And Anderson Cooper, Cottonmouth as I call him, fighting to keep Biden kind of in control and addressing the actual question and not going off target. And basically, he's like a lion tamer in the den with a lion that it's a toothless lion, but it could still mess you up. And I'm sure when the White House staff, every time that whoever's making the decision, yeah, let's go ahead and do this town hall meeting. Joe's facing plunging poll numbers. Folks are fighting against his executive vax mandate. Police, fire, nurses, doctors, all across the nation, threatening to walk if they're going to be forced to take a vaccine. These were our first line defenders and heroes of last year, and now we're willing to kick them to the curb because they won't follow a directive by an executive who probably has a hard time choosing, am I going to have ice cream today? Or am I having it now? I want to re-stress something before I continue. If Joe Biden is suffering early stages of dementia, Alzheimer's, I am sorry. I truly am. But he does not need to be commander-in-chief. For all those who were all upset and fearful that Donald Trump was going to get us into war and push a button and urge actions to be taken, you don't hear them saying that about Joe. But I have a concern that he would try. It can't be really just carried out like that anyway, and I said that during the Trump administration as well. But Biden does not seem to have a command of a lot of things. I told you yesterday about how he was at a recent event, and he starts speaking while the band is still playing. It's not his time to speak until the band stops. And I'm sure the director of the band, if he could see Joe Biden, he was probably concerned, he, she. Not sure, do we continue? What are we wrong? But the evidence was there because as Jill Biden, the first lady, approached the podium almost to Joe's side, just off to the right a little bit, saying, Joe, look at me, look at me, while he was talking. That was clearly her effort to control him and hush him for a bit. And it worked. So when Joe Biden last night talks about the U.S. is committed to coming to Taiwan's defense if it comes under attack from China, his exact statement when asked, yes, we have a commitment to do that. Now, he's made some similar statements in the past, only to have the White House say, well, there's longstanding U.S. policy that has not changed toward Taiwan. We provide Taiwan defensive weapons, but we basically, the White House, we, Joe Biden, and the rest of us, remain intentionally ambiguous on whether we will intervene militarily in the event of a Chinese attack. And it's a delicate balance for any administration. The U.S. has basically what it calls a one-China policy. This is where we acknowledge that China has a claim of sovereignty over Taiwan, but we don't fully endorse it. And the U.S. defense relationship with Taiwan is guided by the Taiwan Relations Act. We will uphold our commitment under the act, according to one White House official today. We will continue to support Taiwan's self-defense. We will continue to oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo. But when Biden is asked that question and says yes, in the sense of, will you stand behind Taiwan if it's invaded by China? He was kind of walking that line again, and I'm sure he got a little way too close for the White House. He certainly got too close in the view of China, because hours after the town hall meeting, the Chinese foreign ministry warned the U.S., quote, do not send any wrong signals to the separatist forces of Taiwan independence. And then added, this being again the Chinese foreign ministry, China urges the U.S. to strictly abide by the One China principle and the provisions of the China-U.S. 3 joint communiques, be cautious in its words and deeds on the Taiwan issue, and refrain from sending any wrong signals to the separatist forces of Taiwan independence so as to not seriously damage China-U.S. relations, peace, stability across the Taiwan Strait. The Taiwanese, when they heard Joe Biden say that, they were cheering. The Taiwanese foreign ministry's response, our government will continue to strengthen our self-defense capabilities to fully defend Taiwan's democracy, national security, people's well-being. He did also, in part of that answer, talk about that China and Russia and the rest of the world knows we have the most powerful military in the history of the world. Don't worry about whether they're going to be more powerful, but that you do have to worry about whether or not they're going to engage in activities, put them in a position where they may make a serious mistake. And then he got in to talk about, hey, I know Xi, I know the Chinese premier. I've spoken and spent more time with Xi Jinping than any other world leader has. That's why you hear people saying Biden wants to start a Cold War, a new Cold War with China. I don't want a Cold War with China. I want China to understand we're not going to step back and change any of our views. Well, with that in mind, as Biden steps forward and deals with Taiwan and that question, I really want to know. I don't know if anybody's asked. I would like to know about that student or young man. I think he did identify as a student. Republican, Democrat, I'm just interested. Even a Democrat should be asking such a question. But then the other thing is, I wonder if anybody was taken out back after the town hall was over and say, how the hell did you clear that guy with that question? Or was then it something that perhaps they decided, let's just kind of step away from it and just act like it didn't happen. But all day long, they've been busy trying to clarify, restate, and try to balance China and Taiwan. Are they successful? Well, so far, we don't see any Chinese nuclear missiles coming at us. And so far, we haven't done anything militarily to escalate. But we know China has been doing numerous and increasing flyovers in waters that are under territorial dispute between China and Taiwan. And you can expect that to increase. Now, back to the issue of Joe Biden and these town hall meetings. I will remind you, the White House is only agreeing to these because they think each time that we need to get some positive attention. Who the hell's watching? I don't know. You probably wouldn't even know what happened if I didn't share it with you. Did I watch? No, I did not. But I did do the dirty deed for you that I went into it enough to find a few pieces that I thought we should discuss. But if you think I had a tough job in trying to do that for you, you should listen to these clips of Biden last night as Anderson Cottonmouth is trying to either correct him on what the question is and kind of redirect him and help save him. Please listen.
With 40% of all products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles what am I doing here?
The Long Beach?
Long Beach, thank you.
About that, just in terms of inflation, because you had told us at a town hall, I think it was in July, that this was just near-term inflation. The Wall Street Journal recently talked to like 67 financial experts who said that they saw high inflation going all the way, or deep into 2022.
Yeah. a gigantic disadvantage.
Mr. President, the question was on the community colleges, which was a big campaign promise that you made. You talked about that along the campaign trail.
Yeah, and I'm going to get it done. And if I don't, I'll be sleeping alone for a long time.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world.
Traveling around the world. Yeah, I've been very, very, very busy. I mean, I got a lot of things to do. But if I go down to the border, I'm going to ask for helado. Or maybe hallado. You know what that is? That's Spanish for ice cream. That's what it is. And then he also talked last night about using the National Guard, activating them to aid the congested supply chain because we're short 60,000 plus drivers. Said he's thinking about it, hasn't done it yet, isn't urging governors to do it. Listen, there is voter backlash building against Biden in some very key states. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Leaves are pretty until they start falling into your gutters. You really want to climb up a ladder, clean them out? That sounds like a project, a dangerous project. I have a motto. I don't do projects. You need K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Get a free estimate. Locally owned, KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com. I'm honored to have First Crypto World in St. Charles on board as a sponsor. This is the first brick-and-mortar store where you can actually learn about cryptocurrencies. And what do you know about crypto mining? I'm confused. That's why I'm going to sign up for an education class. And you can buy crypto merchandise. FirstCryptoWorld.com. Get full details. FirstCryptoWorld.com.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we're good enough. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worth deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden, of course, has to be concerned about how he's being reviewed around the nation. And obviously, that goes for the same for candidates that are going to be running in the 2022 election. They have to be concerned about Joe Biden and how he's perceived. And for many of them, they're not too sure that it's going to be beneficial for them. They're having to decide, is Joe Biden someone you want to tie your campaign to, his coattails, or just basically try to walk away from him? And for many of them, they just are caught, absolutely caught, in a dilemma that of their own making. They have basically set this up. Because inside their own party, they began to allow a lot of these progressives to take control and dictate what they wanted done. I'll give you an example, too, from a liberal talk radio host. Yeah, there's some of them existing, named Leslie Marshall. She got asked last week on Fox News, name one area, just one, where Joe Biden is doing well. Well, she quickly moved to explain he's dealing with coronavirus, he's going to solve it, he's working on it, and added that COVID, no president, whether it's Donald Trump, Joe Biden, anybody else in the future can get around a pandemic that's a new virus. So they're going to push that around, and it's understandable. This PBS host at one time had said Trump should be prosecuted for mass murder and genocide. But now that Biden's in, using the vaccine created through warp speed programs Trump put in place, well, no one can really handle it effectively. And when it comes to the supply chain issues, and we're going to spend more time on that in the next hour, there's still that issue. I mean, how are you going to explain that? Especially when your Secretary of Transportation, on unannounced paternity leave for Pete Buttigieg and his partner, his husband, having twins at home. No, neither one of them had a womb and then implanted, then bore the babies. And how they got them, I still don't know. And to the extent of protecting the child's privacy, I don't have an issue as long as the kids are taken care of. There are a lot of kids out there that need to be adopted and hopefully get to homes that where they will be loved and taken care of properly. Of course, all parents tend to indoctrinate their kids on different things, so many are already worried about how those kids are going to turn out. And then, of course, we have, we have an election underway. You know we have that election. The Democrats know they have that election. The Virginia governor's race. And as the Wall Street Journal is pointing out, this is the headline from the Wall Street Journal. History is on the ballot in Virginia. You got McAuliffe running and insisting that parents should have nothing to say about their parents, about their children's teaching. Are the Democrats going to absolutely squander every opportunity they had by having the House and the Senate and the White House? They may. And now there are two cases going before the Supreme Court concerning abortion. Hans von Spakovsky will join us on that subject when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The U.S. Supreme Court agreeing to expedite and hear procedural elements of two challenges in the Texas new anti-abortion law, which effectively bans most abortions after 6 weeks. That's when you can detect a heartbeat. Well, the best person to go to for an understanding of what that really means and what it will do or not do regarding Roe v. Wade and any other such decisions is the Heritage constitutional law expert, Hans von Spakovsky. Glad to have you on board again, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you also in great detail about a book that you have just, you and a colleague are coming out. Let's see, your release date is November 2nd.
November 2nd.
Yeah, right. Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. I do want to get into that, but let's begin with this news just coming out about the Supreme Court agreeing to hear and expedite those two challenges. What exactly is involved?
Well, Mississippi and Texas passed similar laws. People call them heartbeat laws because, in essence, they ban abortions after you can detect a heartbeat. The difference between the two is that Texas did something very clever. In order to try to make it tougher, for example, for the U.S. Justice Department and others to sue them, they didn't put any state enforcement mechanisms into the Texas law. In other words, the no state prosecutor, no state department like the Attorney General, they can't actually enforce the ban. What they did instead in Texas was they created a private right of action. Anyone can sue an abortion provider for providing abortions and can get damages. And so there's no state action involved. And that's one of the reasons when the law was first passed, the various parties who have sued to try to stop the law, including the Justice Department, by the way, they've tried to convince judges to put in a stay or an injunction to keep the law from going into effect. And so far, the Supreme Court and others have refused to do that because they've said, well, you know, if and when someone actually files a lawsuit against an abortion provider, at that time they can a court can consider that. But, you know, the case now, because of the lawsuit filed by the Merrick Garland Justice Department, is going to be up before the Supreme Court on an emergency request for basically an injunction against the Texas law.
And if you were to hazard a guess, which way would it go and how soon?
Boy, I don't know. They've scheduled arguments for December 1st, I believe. So this is going to come up really, really quickly. And how are they going to go? Look, I think that is anyone's guess as to what they're going to do about this case. The Texas, Mississippi are hoping that the mostly conservative majority in the court now will finally either overturn the Roe versus Wade decision or severely cut it back. And I just don't know if the court's going to be able to or willing to do that.
Well, let me draw your attention to a CNN article that points out Supreme Court Justice as the way the author of this article for CNN wrote it. And it's Ariane, I should say, DeVogue, the Supreme Court reporter for the CNN, saying that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, of course, took up his seat at the far end of the bench in 1991 and has been obviously pretty quiet over all this time and felt kind of beat up after the Anita Hill nomination proceedings went against him. But now he, at age 73, sits next to Chief Justice John Roberts in a chair usually reserved not only for the longest serving member of the court, but for a justice who finds himself at the center of a conservative judicial movement. And then she went ahead and said, it basically appears at this time that it might be Justice Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court's prime influencer. If that's true, that would be good for many conservatives. But what do you think of the analysis as presented by the CNN writer?
Oh, I think he has become the primary influencer. In fact, Larry, I work at the Heritage Foundation, and yesterday we actually had an all-day conference on Justice Thomas and the many decisions he's written over the past 30 years, and that was pretty much the conclusion of all the lawyers, the law professors, and others, that he has become one of the strongest influences on the Supreme Court. And frankly, it's not just because he's been there a long time, but because you read his opinion and they are brilliantly written. He has been very consistent in sticking to his principles, which are that the Constitution is supreme and courts should apply the text of the Constitution and federal laws and not let their policy choices influence what they do. That's the exact opposite of the way the three liberals on the court work. But I think that analysis, you know, CNN's not usually right about this, but I think from the standpoint of is he an influencer on the court? Yes, very strongly so.
They quote Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Kentucky Republican, calling Thomas a legal titan, and then adds that, said, take McConnell being quoted, take Thomas's jurisprudence on unborn life. Every time without fail, Justice Thomas writes a separate, concise opinion to cut through the 50-year tangle of made-up tests and shifting standards, and calmly reminds everybody that the whole house of cards lacks a constitutional foundation.
Again, that is absolutely right. Look, no matter what you actually think about abortion, whether you're for it or against it, the idea that there's a right to abortion in the federal Constitution is just absurd. I mean, that was a fantasy created by a liberal majority on the court. Before Roe versus Wade, it was always a decision whether or not you could undergo an abortion or not that the states decided under state law, under state constitutions, because they dealt with that issue. It was just not, it's just not in the federal Constitution. And it, and if Roe versus Wade were to be overturned, it would simply go back to that. More liberal states like New York would allow it. More conservative states like Texas and Mississippi would not. That's the way it was throughout our entire history until the Supreme Court basically interfered in that issue.
All right. I want to turn my attention, our attention, to this book you have coming out November 2nd with a colleague, Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. Now, just before you joined us, I was reading a headline from the Wall Street Journal that basically says history is on the ballot in Virginia. And then I'm also looking at another piece here that in Politico, weary Democrats not keen on another party line spending bill before the midterms. They've got their own battles, and they're already saying that if Trump wins, he's, it's going to be because he stole it. And yet some of the other liberal minds have said, don't worry about him stealing it. He could win it outright. So your book, Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote, I assume the first and main thing is that push more absentee balloting, but it's, I know, deeper than that.
Oh, it is deeper than that. And what's going on in the Virginia election is a good example of that. You know, Virginia is one of the few states that has off presidential year elections. There's a governor's race going on, and the largest county in the state, Fairfax County, which is democratically controlled, has just been sued because the county said, well, we're simply not going to enforce the state law that requires you, when you request an absentee ballot, to provide the last four digits of your Social Security number. Not only that, but the county has asked the governor to issue an emergency declaration because of COVID that would waive another state law, the state law that requires that you get a witness to witness and sign your absentee ballot.
So,
and those are the kind of changes that they're trying to make.
That's created the broken elections and how they have changed, not just this last time around, but going forward. In the last 30
exactly
seconds
right.
for you, another summation of the book, because I'm going to have you back to discuss it in more detail, but I'd like just a little snippet more in the last 30 seconds.
We talk about all the changes that were forced through last year in a very anti-democratic fashion, how liberals are now trying to make those changes permanent, and that if they do, it will destroy the integrity and security of the election process.
And that I truly worry about. Hans, I'm looking forward for the book. Again, it comes out November 2nd. I do want to have you back to get into more detail specifically on the book, sir.
Anytime, Larry.
Thank you very much. Hans von Spakovsky, Heritage Constitutional Expert. And then we have what's coming up in the next segment. You don't want to miss it. You want to make someone feel really special? Give them a gift card from Cafe Napoli, treating them to a memorable dinner at any of the Napoli locations. Business owners, I encourage you to give Napoli gift cards to clients, employees, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now on the streets of St. Charles, Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here's a story that when I first heard it, pardon me, I regret hearing it. I mean, it's someone who died, and it involved a gun, but it was a prop gun used on a movie set. And the one firing the pistol was actor Alec Baldwin, 63 years of age. The shooting ended up killing the cinematographer and also injuring a director. Accidents will happen. But on a movie studio, when you have a prop gun, a lot of questions come into play right away. I mean, it should not be able to fire a legitimate projectile as you would put into a pistol. I still don't have all the details. They're coming out in different bits and pieces, and I'm not sure which ones to trust at this point. But, of course, in the past, Alec Baldwin has been very big about anti-gun, as you will find most of the Hollywood elite. In fact, he had tweeted in September 22nd, 2017, I wonder how it must feel to wrongfully kill someone. And he was linking to an LA Times article about a police officer in Huntington Beach captured on video struggling with a suspect in a parking lot of a convenience store before he shot the man several times, killing him. And, of course, the left attitude always is, if there's a killing like that, the officer is to blame, and the officer should have been trained better, and why shoot so many times, why not shoot the leg, so forth and so on. Well, they've never been in such a struggle for basically their life, where maybe someone is trying to get the pistol away from them. This was a movie scene. No one's supposed to really be hurt. You're supposed to act like it's a big deal, and I don't even know if he was supposed to, the character that when he fired the bullet, if a character was supposed to die or if he's just firing it, and somehow or another, this prop gun maybe was not a prop gun, or that instead of being loaded with a dummy, it was loaded with a real live round. That is all going to come out as the investigation goes forward, and I don't take great satisfaction in seeing even somebody in Hollywood who's anti-gun suddenly caught in such a midst where they are, at least indirectly, responsible for shooting and killing someone. I mean, he didn't bring the gun on set. It was given to him. And there's going to be a lot of inquiry as to how it was handled, the chain of custody of it, and how it got onto the set, and then again, maybe it was just a fake projectile, and yet it could also kill, just striking the body at the right time. And, of course, to the point of a police officer in the struggle, firing only one time, firing rapidly, that's basic police training. And if you had trained on any concealed carry case in the past when you had to have a concealed carry license, you're always told you shoot for the body mass, and in some cases you shoot until they cease, that you no longer have a threat. There is another case that some are already comparing this to that apparently had been criticized by Alec Baldwin, and that goes back to the shooting death of Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee, who was killed several years ago during a filming, and when he was shot by a prop gun. And, of course, Alec Baldwin had also made a remark about Dick Cheney's hunting accident back in 2015, when then Vice President Cheney accidentally shot and injured someone while hunting. The actor tweeted out, kind of being coy and cute about it. You hook your friends with that line, shoot them in the face, Cheney style. One Twitter user responding to that tweet that's been put out again said, I'm not a Cheney fan, but to put it mildly, and this is the way Baldwin believed shooting should be described and discussed. Another one quipped, this aged well. Still another Twitter remark, we're all curious, Alec Baldwin, did you shoot him in the face Cheney style? The Hollywood studio involved says it was a misfire of a prop gun with blanks. As I said, there will be a lot more to be discovered about that story as we move forward. It's a Western they were shooting. Everything's on hold at this time.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.